This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
What an honor to have on the show today, Mr. Jim Rogers. You know, they talk about a certain guy as being the sage of Omaha. Of course, that's baloney. But tonight I'm talking to the real sage, the sage of Singapore. Jim is the author of 5 books. I could talk about many, many things that he's of his accomplishments. But I love his books. Investment Biker, Adventure Capitalist. But Jim, I know you've got a new book out, and it's called A Gift to My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing. What are those lessons?
That's a good question, Lou. I came to fatherhood very late in life. It's a good thing I did not have children when I was 20. It would not have been good for the mother or the child or me or anybody else. But one advantage of coming to fatherhood late is I got a whole lifetime of experience, both in the financial community and elsewhere. And I thought I should write all this down for my little girls so that hopefully it will guide them through life from my experiences, both good and bad, and also from what I've learned.
Jim, I know that the reason that you're in Singapore has something to do with those little girls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that in their lifetime, you know, these girls were born in 2003 and 2008, and I am convinced that in their lifetime, Asia is going to be the most important continent, so I'm here for them. And I want them to grow up speaking Mandarin fluently like natives. I want them to understand Asia and America. Obviously, we're American citizens and vote and pay taxes in America. So I'm hoping that I'm going to give them the best of both worlds.
Well, it's just fantastic. And, you know, it seems like the United States is slitting its own throat economically and financially. Of course, what the Bush administration did, the Obama administration. And I noticed that you've recently said that you think maybe this mini boom that Mr. Obama and his Federal Reserve have given us recently may be coming to an end in the stock market.
Well, yes, I don't know when it's going to come to an end. It's a very powerful rally, Lou. And in my experience, when any asset rallies like this, it usually lasts a while. I think we have certainly seen a bottom. I'm not convinced we've seen the bottom yet, and whether the bottom is this month, this summer, or this fall, I don't know. Whether things start going down again, or maybe even next year. But no, I'm not rushing in to buy stocks in the U.S. or anywhere else for that matter.
Today, I noticed that Mr. Obama had a town meeting in New Mexico, and it was about his credit card bill to restrict credit cards. But he gave everybody a lecture that the United States government was in too much debt, as if, of course, it was the fault of the American people, and not that he had nothing to do with it, that it was threatening higher interest rates, that the U.S. couldn't keep borrowing from China, and we were going to have to live within our means. Is he just telling a joke, or, I mean, what is that? I mean, it's all true, but, I mean, he has something to do with it.
Well, that's a different question. Well, we certainly do have to live within our means. I mean, I wish Mr. Obama and many, many other people had figured that out last year, the year before, the decade before, you know, the 2 decades before. But, you know, it's got to be done. And whether we do it ourselves voluntarily or whether the market forces us to do it, which I'm afraid is what is going to happen, that's usually what happens. Most countries don't have serious reform until there's a crisis or a semi-crisis. You know, so far, even with this crisis or semi-crisis, depending on your definition, we still aren't reforming. We're still spending more. The concept, Lou, the solution to a problem of too much borrowing and too much spending is more borrowing and more spending just defies sanity. I just can't comprehend what they're doing.
Well, I heard him earlier say, this is maybe a few weeks ago, that we needed to have much more frugality, spend less, borrow less, but for right now, of course, spend everything, borrow everything. And that's about, you know, that's the no mention of what the theory is behind that.
Well, you and I both know that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. All they want to do in Washington is get reelected. They have to buy votes from as many people as they can, and the way you buy votes these days, not these days always, is just give somebody some money. And so they're out giving people your money and my money. They're taking money away from 300 million taxpayers who, for the most part, have done things right, or 300 million Americans, I should say, and giving it to the few 100,000 or the few million who didn't do things right. It's outrageous that 300 million of us have to suffer for the sins of a couple million, or 5 million, I don't know how many.
Jim, have they killed the dollar as far as a world reserve currency, or maybe even as far as our own internal currency?
Yes, no, I'm afraid that they have over the past, we have. I mean, we, you know, unfortunately, Lou, people deserve the government they get. Well, I guess we elected these guys. It's astonishing. You and I probably didn't vote for any of them, but still,
no,
you know, they're there, and it's in the being. They're destroying the U.S. dollar, which has been the world's reserve currency, the world's medium of exchange for about 60 years now. But now America's the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, and the foreign debts are increasing at gigantic rates. I mean, this is a system that is in the process of bankrupting itself, which means it's bankrupting America. And they sit there. I guess their theory is that by the time they are gone, I mean, they can hold it all together until they're gone, and then it won't matter. I mean, that's what Bush did, obviously. He held it together until he was gone, and now Obama's going to get the blame. But this cannot continue.
Well, I always get a kick out of Mr. Bernanke saying that, don't worry about inflation. If prices start to rise, he'll withdraw all the new money. As far as I can tell, this has, of course, never happened in the history of the world that a central bank has withdrawn money. They exist to inflate, after all, so they're hardly in a position to do that.
Happened. You have had occasional rare cases where a central bank has started or talked about withdrawing the money, but as soon as they realize the consequences, they completely reverse their course, and the next thing you have inflation. No, this has been going on for a few hundred years. As you know, the governments have debased the currency and caused inflation. It's happening again. Even the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a government agency which reports inflation, who's been lying to us about inflation for 20 or 30 years, anybody listening to this program knows they've been lying, but even they say in their numbers that prices are still going up. They take out energy. I mean, the energy, of course, has been going down. So they say we don't have much inflation, but if you get into the numbers and look at the numbers, you will see that every sector of the economy that they report on has had increasing prices, even according to them, and they lie about it. So inflation's here. I mean, everybody listening to this show knows that the prices are not going down for most things. You go to the dentist or the doctor or the accountant or lots of them, take a taxi, pay a toll. You know the prices aren't going down.
Jim, you and I remember the evil day of August 15, 1971, when President Nixon closed the gold window and put price and wage controls on. Do you think we face a danger of price and wage controls once the prices start to go up? And will Obama do that?
Well, again, as you know, because you know a lot about history, politicians always take the easy way out, the temporary way out, the shortcut whenever things go wrong. Wage and price controls, the Republicans did it, the Democrats have done it in various times in American history, so of course they're going to do that. When prices are going berserk, they're going to blame it on everybody except themselves, rather than doing the honorable thing and say, guys, we have really messed up, we're going to resign. They're going to say, no, it's your fault, you're the ones who caused these problems, and now you're going to have to suffer. And they're going to say, Lou, as they always do, these are temporary, don't worry, and it won't affect you very much. And of course, in, you know, weeks, months, years later, we're still suffering the effects.
You know, it seems like the Obama administration, and I guess certainly there have been previous administrations in American history that had a similarly anti-business attitude, Franklin Roosevelt and so forth, but already they have an anti-business attitude, they're openly expressing it. If things really start, well, I should say when things really start to go bad in terms of inflation and other problems, just how much is this anti-capitalist attitude, what kind of an effect is that going to have on policy? I mean, what do you think they might actually do to us?
Well, the good news or the bad news is that they're going to be more and more limited in what they do because the markets are just not going to let them. I mean, they can try to do various and sundry things, but then right now they're controlling the long-term bond market, or trying to, but eventually they're not going to be able to do a lot of these things. Eventually the market's just going to say no. I hope it doesn't happen in the next few years, but there could very well be social unrest in America, too. And there's not a whole lot that they're going to be able to do if things get as bad as they could under their system. You have to remember, Mr. Obama ran on two platforms. He ran on the platform to tax capital. Now, what kind of genius would tax capital, raise taxes on capital in period of the greatest capital shortages in history? His other platform was protectionism. Well, he's already started talking more and more protectionist, and so his basic instincts are anti-capital, which is what America desperately needs, and protectionism, which could lead to disaster, just as it did in the 1930s. So I'm afraid his instincts, even if he knew what he was doing, which he doesn't, his instincts are such that he wants more controls and things which will devastate the economy and the world, not just America, the world economy.
And Jim, when we see talk about protectionism and economic troubles, sometimes governments have sought to war as a way for to distract the people in these kinds of circumstances. So I guess, I mean, we face, who knows, but some very unfortunate things. Thank goodness for you, you're living in Singapore. But I wanted to ask you about a tax question. I'm told that the United States is the only government on the face of the earth that taxes somebody who lives and earns money outside of the country. Is that correct, you know? I mean,
it's not the only country, but it's one of the very, very few. I mean, the Philippines does, too, but they learned the tax system from the IRS, the American IRS. No, it is a little absurd if you think about it, and that's why virtually no other country does it. But if you are an American, no matter where you live, even if you never go back to the States for whatever reason, you still have to, and you don't earn any money in the States, you still have to pay U.S. taxes on all your income worldwide. As I say, very few other countries do it, but it is absurd. So, but yes, no, I pay taxes. I pay American taxes. I vote in American elections. I have an American passport. But it certainly doesn't seem just to me, but that's the system.
Jim, you said recently that you're not selling your gold, and indeed you might even be buying more gold. Tell us about that. And do you think that for the average Joe in America facing what we're talking about, is it a good idea for him to hold a few Kruger Rands?
Well, I'm the average Joe, so I'm doing it. That doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. It doesn't mean I'm right, but I do own gold coins. I don't think I own any Kruger Rands specifically, but I own coins from Austria and Canada and America and other countries. Yes, I think everybody should have some gold as an insurance policy, if nothing else, Lou. You have life insurance, you have medical insurance, and you hope you never use your medical insurance or your life insurance. Well, you can look at gold that way, too. If you, at worst, just look at it as insurance and hope you lose money on your gold. But if you don't lose money, and if things do get worse and worse, you're going to make a whole lot of money on your gold. The gold situation with gold right now, as you know, is that the IMF is desperately trying to get permission to sell huge amounts of its gold, and they're one of the largest holders of gold in the world. I don't know if it'll happen, but if it does, that could cause gold to go down for a while. If something happens and causes gold to go down for a while, then I hope I'm smart enough and brave enough to buy some more.
Well, it'd be magnificent. And, Jim, you've also talked about farming. And maybe if somebody's smart, rather than being a stockbroker in the years ahead, they're going to want to be a farmer.
Well, throughout history, we've had periods when the people who were the money changers, you know, the financial types, were the sort of the center of the universe, and that's been the case for the past 30 years worldwide. But we've also had many periods in world history when the people who produced real goods, farmers, miners, lumberjacks, you know, these were the people who were the center. And in my view, it's shifting. The financial area is going to be a backwater like it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and it's going to be the people who produce real goods again. Farming has been a horrible, horrible profession for the past 30 years. In my view, that's going to change, and everybody who can produce real things is going to make a much, much, much better living and have much more influence for another few decades. There's nothing radical. I mean, it may sound radical to a guy who just got his MBA and wants to be a stockbroker, but I assure you, it's been going on for centuries.
Jim, I was talking to a brilliant student at an American university not too long ago. I asked him what he was majoring in, and he told me, I'm taking the Jim Rogers curriculum. He said, I'm majoring in agronomy and minoring in Chinese. So there you go.
Well, he's clearly a brilliant if you ask me, but who knows if I know what I'm talking about. But that's great. I think I might just reverse it and major in Chinese and minor in agronomy, but either way.
Jim Rogers. Thanks a million for coming on the show today. It's an honor to have you, as always, and you're very, very nice to do it.
It's always my pleasure, Lou. Let's do it again.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.